Hi, Gene Friedman.
Hello, Alex Gersberg.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Did you have a good week?
I had a very busy and productive week.
You did?
Yes.
You've been very busy. You've been litigating a lot. You've been doing deals. You're kind of a jack of all trades over here. Yeah. Do you think that's true?
I think that is true to a certain degree.
What parts of practicing law do you appeal to you the most, would you say?
What appeals to me the most? I think learning about our clients' business. We deal with a lot of small and mid-sized businesses, so we get a broad spectrum of type of business clients, and we get to learn a little bit something about their business. And you get to, over the course of dealing with your clients, you get to become knowledgeable in a lot of different industries.
Yeah, I mean, well, I was just thinking about that, right? I mean, so you definitely have more car dealership knowledge, I'd say, than any other lawyer at this firm at this point, having represented dozens and dozens of them.
That's probably an accurate statement. Right. Myself and Mark Turner, I think he's got a lot of knowledge as well.
Right. But then, yeah, I mean, you got manufacturers, software companies, travel companies.
Travel companies, real estate companies.
Yeah. What do you like doing more, the transactional stuff or the litigation?
I think I like both.
Yeah.
I certainly like the transactional stuff, but I think we're getting to some of the more interesting work sometimes in litigation. I think specifically on transactions, I really like trademark work.
Mm-hmm.
I think we
intellectual property.
Yeah, intellectual property. We've certainly had, I think, a lot more work on that recently, and it's been interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and in real estate.
In real estate.
Which brings us to our topic today.
Drumroll.
Ooh, there will be one, actually. Our good friend Nelly Gertzberg will be providing a drumroll right here. All right, leases, right? We're talking about real estate leases.
We're talking about real estate leases, and everybody has seen one. Hopefully, everyone probably has signed one at some point before buying a house or before, moving into their first location when they opened up a business. But not everybody knows all the formalities of execution of a lease.
Right. And a lot of the many listeners at home are business owners. So more likely than not, they are tenants. But there are probably also some among them that are investors in real estate business. Maybe they're part owners of a building that has office leases in them.
Right.
Leases definitely are, I think, a sort of ubiquitous presence in business, right? You really can't escape them. Somewhere, someone in your business is work operating under a lease. And it's also equipment leases, but we're just talking about real estate leases right now, right?
Yeah, we're talking about real estate leases because real estate leases come under Ohio statute of frauds,
right?
Where you need to have them signed in writing, and not only that, certain leases have to be notarized
in order to be enforced.
In order to be enforceable.
Right. So you said certain leases, not all leases.
Not all leases.
Right.
So there's an exception to leases that are less than 3 years in term, in duration.
Those still have to be signed but don't have to be notarized, is that right?
Right. They do not have to be notarized. If you have a lease that is 3 years or longer, it has to be signed and it has to be notarized at least by the lessor, at least by the owner.
Right. And what happens, and it's funny how overlooked this concept is. I mean, I bet you folks listening at home, if you have a lease somewhere in your life and you look at it, there's a good chunk of you that have signed leases for three or more years where there's not a notary stamp and a notary signature on it. And in that case, Gene, what kind of lease is that?
Well, it's going to be deemed an invalid lease, except if there's also already been payments under that lease. And the court's going to say that that is technically a lease for periodic term for whatever it is, the term that you pay under that lease. So typically it's going to be a month-to-month lease.
Right.
Because most of us have lease terms that say you have to pay your lease monthly.
Right.
Now, not only, you know, you can take a look at your lease and you can say, no, my lease is not a 3-year lease. I have a tenant here who's only going to be here for 2 years. I'm okay. I don't need to get any notarization, and it's an extra pain in the ass.
Right.
Well, there's other circumstances that arise where you do need that notarization. So let's say you have a lease that's for a 1-year term, but it has an automatic renewal.
Mm.
Because of that automatic renewal, that puts you right back into that. It could be performed over a term of more than 3 years. And that also requires notarization.
Interesting. So if you don't get a notary to notarize your lease, and a notary is really, it's every attorney's a notary, right? And
right.
Most banks have a notary there.
True.
And really what they're doing, if they're doing their job correctly, is they're validating your signature. They are asking
your identity.
ID. Right. They're basically swearing to anyone who looks at that signature later that you are, in fact, the person who signed it.
Right.
So if they have a non-notarized lease that has a term of over 3 years, either in its original term or by an extension, it will be deemed usually a month-to-month lease without that notary stamp.
That's right. So either party, this is the result here, is either party can then get out of that lease.
Right.
By saying that lease is only good until the next month is up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that rule comes from old England. I do. I think that's old property law, the statute of frauds, and I don't know why 3 years is any better than 2 years or 1 year, but
it's a good point.
Yeah. So, all right. What about personal guarantees? You know anything about those?
If you can get by without signing one, right. Do it. That's as far as I know.
Right. But I do think that there is law in Ohio that says that a personal guarantee is going to be deemed to be effective only for an original term unless the guarantor separately signs an extension in the lease agreement. And I believe the rule is that it has to say that they are it has to be explicit that they are guaranteeing the tenant's obligations for extension term.
But here's the takeaway.
Yes.
You know, I think most long-term leases are really not your residential leases, because typically residential leases are 1 to 2 years.
Yeah.
Your business leases, your commercial leases tend to be for a longer term.
Right.
So whether you're a landlord or a tenant, you don't want to be in a situation as a landlord where you've agreed to do a build out for somebody.
Right.
You've put in a lot of money only to have that tenant leave.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you have an attorney representing you who understands proper execution of that lease. And on the other hand, you don't want to be moving your business into a different location and then having that situation arise where the landlord wants to terminate the lease.
Yeah, I would say this too, Gene. As a general proposition, businesses, when dealing with real estate leases, should not be penny wise and pound foolish. And by that I mean, think about what the total liability is on that lease when you think about whether to have an attorney consult on it. Because you think that an attorney's review of your lease is going to be too expensive, and maybe you're a startup and you're just trying to get your feet off the ground, your business off the ground. And so you read the lease, you think you understand all the terms, and you sign it because you don't think you have any leverage with the landlord anyway. But here's the thing. When you add up the liability in rent, plus there's likely going to be a provision in there about paying your portion of operating expenses. There's going to be provisions about what happens in the event of default. You're going to want to negotiate notices and rights to cure.
That's a good point. I mean, some people think they got a right to renew, but they don't know how quickly and what type of notice they have to provide the landlord to actually exercise that option before they lose it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, landlord provided leases, which is most leases, meaning they hand you a form to sign, are probably going to be pretty one-sided in the landlord's favor. The landlord almost certainly had an attorney draft it. And the remedies that the lease gives to the landlord are going to be pretty draconian in the event of any kind of technical breach. So, and you're signing as a business tenant, not as a consumer, not as a residential tenant. What that means is that the Ohio Landlord-Tenant Act is not going to protect you as much as it would if you were signing as a consumer for an apartment rental or a house Right. rental. So have an attorney, review every commercial lease that you sign. Don't be penny wise and pound foolish. Gene, anything else you could think of?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Thank you very much, Gene. Thanks for listening, folks. See you next time.